Welcome to the CC Broadcast, a part of Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministries. Join us this week as our radio preacher, Pastor Tim Butker, launches his new series, Unstoppable, with today's message, Evidence That God Is At Work.
Yes, it is so great to have you with us on the CC Broadcast as we again turn our hearts towards the Lord in worship and praise and honor of who He is. And then we open His Word and invite Him to speak to us in a way that only He can by the power of His Spirit. We're continuing in our series Unstoppable as we walk through Luke's writing in the book of Acts. He wrote a gospel writing about the life of Jesus, and then he wrote about the Acts of the Apostles and the calling forth of the church in the early days after Jesus' resurrection and ascension, the church of Jesus Christ that's still in the world today, the Christian church. And as we look into the text, we're looking at the evidences of God's hand at work in their midst at this time. And there's just such great evidence of God's work. When God shows up, certain things happen. And I'm excited to talk with you about those things today. And so what I want to do is begin this time with a word of prayer before we worship and praise God for who He is, and then look into His Word together. So let's pray together. Father in heaven, thank You for this chance to come before You together, look into Your Word, praise You and honor You for who You are. I would ask that You would speak to us in a way that only You can by the power of Your Spirit. Minister to each one of us listening here today. And Father, if there are some that don't know You, pour out Your grace upon them. Show them Your goodness, Your kindness, Your mercy, that they could taste and see of You and be drawn closer to You by the gentle, loving, wooing hand of Your Holy Spirit that points us to Jesus and the work that Jesus has done on our behalf. We give You praise and thanks today, Father, and ask that You would minister, again, minister and minister and minister to us in a way that only You can. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
How great the chasm that lay between us. How high the mountain I could not climb. In desperation, I turned to heaven and spoke Your name into the night. Then through the darkness, Your loving kindness tore through the shadows of my soul. The work is finished, the end is written. Jesus Christ, my living. Who could imagine so great a mercy? What heart could fathom such boundless grace? The God of ages stepped down from glory to wear my sin and bear my shame. The cross has spoken. Began to breathe out of the sun.
We're in this series entitled Unstoppable, and we're in the book of Acts, and we're now in chapters 4, 5, and 6. And I want to encourage you to continue reading along. If you haven't picked up a Bible or listened to the Bible online in some way, the reading is really quite doable. We're capturing about 3 chapters every 2 weeks. And so we've read through chapters 1 through 3. Now we're in chapters 4 through 6. We've been through this time with Jesus' life when we went through Easter and Lent leading up to the time of Jesus' death for human sin and then his resurrection on Easter Sunday morning. And then the scripture says he appeared to over 500 people over a period of 40 days. This is at the beginning of Acts. And as he appeared to them, he was giving testimony, making clear proof that he was alive and resurrected. And then before he ascended into heaven, he spoke to the believers and he said, "Go now and wait in Jerusalem for the promise my Father and I have given you, for you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." And so they waited. God fulfilled his promise. The Spirit was poured out upon the believers, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship and prayer and the breaking of bread, and the church started to spread and expand. Acts 2:41 tells us they went from 120 people after the day of Pentecost, and Peter gave his first message of what was happening, to over 3,000 people who were added to their day, and the Lord was adding to their number every day. And the Bible says it was changing Jerusalem. It was confronting the status quo in the city. The apostles were doing many miracles and signs, and everyone felt great respect for God. There was a sense of wonder and awe in the city. And then Acts chapter 3 begins with the first specific recorded miracle. There's 14 recorded miracles in the book of Acts. And this is the first specific one, but again, the Bible says there were many miracles being done, and everyone felt a great sense of wonder and awe. And to be honest, we don't have time to cover all the details when we fly through this many chapters, 3-4 chapters in 2 weeks. I want to encourage you again to read the text. Open up the Bible, get it online, read it, and let the Word of God speak to you yourself. When I entered ministry, I remember an old minister pulling me aside, and he said, "Tim, one of the most challenging things you will do over the course of your ministry life is not just feed people themselves, but teach people to feed themselves as well." And you and I really can't live on one spiritual meal of God's Word every week. And one of the things we have to do, if we want to know the supernatural life of Christ, the power of Christ in our lives, we have to learn to feed ourselves spiritually, nurture ourselves on the living Word of God. What I want to do over these next 2 weeks is back up a little bit from the text, from the end of chapter 3 into 4, 5, and 6, and I simply want to look at 6. Now, there's a lot more as you read it. I want to encourage you. There's a lot more than 6. But 6 evidences of God's work in their community that are transferable to us today. If we see these things going on around us today, it means the Spirit of God is at work in our midst. And so we see at the beginning of Acts chapter 3, there's this first miracle. It's the first sign that I want to highlight today. When the Spirit of God is on the move, when God is present in a community, this happens. Humbled, prayerful, and needy, suffering people are touched, healed, and saved by God's grace. When God is in our midst, humbled people who are needy, understand their need, and are being prayerful, maybe suffering in some way, crying out to God, when God is present, these people are touched. The Bible says God gives grace to the humble. And when he is present, we experience that grace, that powerful grace in our midst. The text says Peter and John were heading to the temple at this time in history, about 3 p.m. for the time of prayer. And there was a gentleman there. He was carried there every day because he was crippled from birth. He'd been crippled for 40 years. He was around 40 years old. And his friends would lay him there so he could beg every day. You want to talk about a humble man who was brought there because he couldn't do the things healthy men can do. He couldn't go out and work and contribute and provide and have that sense of accomplishment in that way. And so he was dropped off here. And who knows how much of a prayer he was, but certainly he suffered over his lifetime. He was needy, and he had been humbled many times, and he was begging for money, asking for alms, the scripture says. And Peter and John, about 3 o'clock, walk past him, and he's asking Peter and John for money. And they stop, and the Bible says, Peter asked this man to look at him. He was probably too ashamed to make eye contact with people around him. And so they asked him to look at him, and he looked at them, and they had eye contact. And Peter said to him, "Silver and gold I do not have." The disciples weren't working professions where they made a lot of money. "Silver and gold we do not have," he said, "but what we do have, we give you." And then Peter reached out to him, this suffering, humbled, penitent, whatever man, with his right hand. Now, when the scripture mentions the right hand, it's the right hand of fellowship. It's the right hand of blessing. And so it specifically is mentioned by the Spirit of God through Luke here. He extended his right hand to him and said, "Silver and gold I do not have you, but do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus," he said, "stand up and walk." And here you have this first miracle recorded for us in Acts, where it says this man's feet and ankles were strengthened. He jumped up and he clasped Peter, and then he went running around excited in the temple. Suffering, humbled, and needy people by the hundreds and thousands like this, being touched by the Spirit of God, ministered to, given grace in some way. And this accounting here is of this man. Signs that the Spirit is on the move. People are being touched. People are being saved. They went from 120 to 3,000, and they would go to over 5,000 men who found salvation through the Lord Jesus in the church. Miracle after miracle after miracle was happening around them because the Spirit of God was present. And why was this happening? Because, and this is another thing that happens when God is present, Jesus was being honored, and Jesus was being obeyed. They were following Jesus. They were responding to his encouragements to them, his commands. He told them to go wait in Jerusalem. They went and waited in Jerusalem. They prayed. They sought him. And then when the Spirit was poured out upon them, they started to honor him even more, proclaim his name even more, obey him even more. And the Bible says this is evidence of God's hand at work. Jesus said in John 16:14 to his disciples, before he was crucified, before he ascended, he said, "When the Spirit of truth comes, he will glorify me. Because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you." Where the Spirit of God is present, Jesus is glorified, the Bible says. John said it this way in 1 John, "Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world." This is how you recognize when the Spirit of God is at work, he said. "Every spirit that acknowledges Jesus Christ has come in the flesh from God. That is the Spirit of Almighty God at work. That's the one true God operating in the world. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God and comes from the spirit of the Antichrist," literally comes from the pit of hell and comes from Satan himself. "Those that deny the power of Jesus, those that reject the name of Jesus, they come from hell, from the spirits of hell." And so why is God at work here? Because Jesus is being lifted up by his Spirit, and then you see the evidence of that. People's hearts and lives are being touched by the power of Jesus, the one who holds all power and all authority. It is in his name that these miracles are happening. Jesus is being honored and obeyed. Paul wrote to those in Corinth and said this, "I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says
anything bad about Jesus. Jesus be cursed. When people are out and taking Jesus' name in vain, in frustration and saying, and they say his name, that's not from God. That's from hell. Cursing the name of Jesus. No one who is denying Jesus is from God. We're in a spiritual war in this world, and the Bible shows this so clearly. And the one who came from heaven is the one the evil one hates, and he's constantly trying to push against the proclamation and the power and the revelation of Jesus. Anyone who is saying Jesus be cursed is not from the Spirit of God, and no one can say Jesus is Lord. No one comes to faith except by the Spirit. So Jesus was being honored and obeyed, and I want to add a little extra to this point. It was happening by those who were being very courageous and emboldened to do so. After this man was healed, the people were astonished and came running to Solomon's colonnade. When Peter saw this, he said to them, "Fellow Israelites, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us if by our own power or godliness we had this man walk?" And then he honors Jesus for his power in their midst. Notice how many times he mentions Jesus. "The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus. You handed him over to be killed. You disowned him before Pilate. You disowned the holy and righteous one. You asked that a murderer be released to you. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. We are witnesses of this. By faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see was now made strong. It is in Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has completely healed him, as you can see." They honored Jesus. Jesus taught in our gospel text that if we are ashamed of him before men, he will be ashamed of us before his Father. At this point, I just want to ask a couple questions here. Number one, are you among the humbled and the needy and the suffering and the prayerful? Because if you are, you're in line to experience God's grace and his power. And number two, when was the last time you said his name out loud to someone around you? I'm talking about the name of Jesus. The church was on the move because the people of God were emboldened by the Spirit of God to speak the name of Jesus. Because there is great power in the name. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke. This is, it says, they all were filled with the Holy Spirit. It wasn't just the ministers. It wasn't just the leaders. It just kept disseminating, the Spirit did, stirring person after person after person to honor the name of Jesus, to praise the name of Jesus, to point to the glory and the power and the authority of Jesus. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And God's grace was so powerfully at work in all of them. Friends, when I study this, you know what happens to me? I just simply say, "God, do it again. Please do it again. Pour out your Spirit on your people in the world. Help us be humble and prayerful, calling out to you in a needy way, acknowledging your Son so that we can experience your power and walk in the boldness of the early believers, because this is our great hope." Those are two signs that God is at work. People are emboldened about the Jesus, the name of Jesus, the power of Jesus. And people who are humbled before him, and people who are needy before him, and people who are prayerful to him, they start to experience his power, his sustaining grace, his encouragement in their lives. And then the third sign that God is on the move that's evident here, and we'll look at more next week. And again, I want to encourage you to look for more signs when you read the text. But clearly, throughout the book of Acts, and especially in these chapters, we're going to see that when God is on the move, proud people are being confronted with the truth about human nature, their human nature, our human nature, and the true nature of God. Prideful people are confronted by God when he shows up. The Bible says there were many prideful people in Jerusalem. Many of them had titles and had authority in the city. Some of them were the priests and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees, the religious leaders of the time. And the text says they came to Peter and John while they were speaking to the people saying these things. And they were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people, proclaiming in Jesus the life after death. And so they seized Peter and John. Because it was evening, they just simply put them in jail for the night. And then the next day, they got more rulers and authorities together. Caiaphas was there, John, Alexander, Annas, the high priest. And they brought them into sort of a Sanhedrin-type situation. They brought Peter and John before him, and they asked him this: by what power or name do you do these things? Peter and John couldn't ask for a better question. They've been talking about the power and the name. Literally, the religious leaders threw him a softball, and it's floating in the air, and I can just see Peter just, I'm gonna, by what power and name, you ask, do we do these things? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of the people, this is funny. If we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a man who was lame and being asked how he was healed, is this really what's happening? You're calling us to account for doing something nice for someone? Healing a man in his suffering? Well, if that's the case, they said, know this. You, can you imagine this? You and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. The one you killed healed him. The one you tried to shut down, he's still living, and he's the one who healed him. Proud people being confronted by the truth about Jesus, about God's love. God raised him from the dead. This is the stone you builders rejected, and he has now become the cornerstone of the church. And then Peter says, this salvation is found in no one else. There is no other name under heaven given among men by which we can be saved. Over time, some of these proud people would bend the knee and come to Jesus. Others would kick against him until the temple would be destroyed by God. Because God opposes the proud. In 70 years, he would wipe out that temple in his sovereignty. When God is on the move, proud people are confronted with their sinfulness. Do you have any points of pride, friends? If you want to know God more, you're going to have to keep growing in humility. When God is on the move, proud people are confronted. Jesus is honored, and humbled people start to get empowered and touched and healed and saved by his grace. When they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated common men, here it is, the secret, friends, they recognized this. They had been with Jesus. If we're going to experience this again, friends, in our communities, simply as this, we must spend more time with Jesus, through his word, through prayer, by faith. And whether we do or not, whether we join him or not, he's not going to be thwarted. He is going to continue to build his church in the world. Let's pray together, shall we? Father, thank you for this day. that you have given us. Thank you for your word, which speaks to us about your work in the world. Father, in a world that's so insane with so many ideologies and so many beliefs and so many religions, I am so thankful that your word just pierces through it all and gives us the revelation of Christ. I am thankful for his love for us. Father, continue to work in our hearts and minister to us in a way that only you can by your Holy Spirit. And continue to build your church in and through us by the power of your Spirit. Give us ears to hear, hearts to cooperate, and a willingness to be open to the work of your Spirit in and within us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Come and join the reapers, all the kingdom seekers, laying down your life to find it in the end. Come and share the harvest, help to light the darkness, for the Lord is calling faithful men. Come and join the reapers, all the kingdom seekers, laying down your life to find it in. Share the harvest, help to light the darkness, for the Lord is calling faithful men. For the Lord is calling faithful men.
Hi, this is Andrew Nordstrom, Technical Director of Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministries. Thanks for tuning in to today's broadcast. Our primary goal is to proclaim Jesus Christ as the Redeemer of the world and to promote the truth of God's Word. In addition to this weekly broadcast, we have three podcasts which you can listen to for free on our website, ChristianCrusaders.org, or on our free mobile app. The first podcast is a Bible overview devotion called the Daily Dose Devotions. The second podcast features inspiring interviews with interesting Christians. It's called the CC Podcast Conversations. Our newest podcast is Homer Larson Live, which features a powerful series of sermons from one of our former radio preachers recorded live over his five-decade ministry to his local church.
Today you've been listening to the broadcast transmission of Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministries. We're one of America's longest-running radio ministries, on the air since 1936. We are completely donor-funded and donations are tax-deductible. They can be sent to 7401 University Avenue, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613, or made online at ChristianCrusaders.org. Thank you for tuning into this broadcast. We'll be here again next week at the same time, and until then, may God richly bless you.